Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to.
Circus. Episode 12B. How to recognize different types of trees from quite a long way away. Number one, the larch. The larch. The larch.
Mr. Larch, you have heard the case for the prosecution. Is there anything you wish to say before I pass sentence?
Well, I'd just like to say, my lad, I've got a family, a wife and 6 kids, and I hope very much you don't have to take away my freedom. Because, my lord, freedom is a state much prized within the realm of civilized society. It is a bond wherewith the savage man may charm the outward hatchments of his soul and soothe the troubled breast into a magnitude of quiet. It is most precious as a blessed bar, the saviour of princes, the harbinger of happiness, yea, the very stuff and pith of all we hold most dear. What frees the prisoner in his lonely cell, chained within the bondage of rude walls, far from the owl of thieves? What fires and stirs the woodcock in his springe, or wakes the drowsy apricot betide? What goddess doth the storm-tossed mariner offer most tempestuous prayers to? Freedom! Freedom! Freedom!
It's only a bloody parking offence.
I'm sorry, I'm late, Bernard. I couldn't find a kosher car park. Don't bother to recap, Bernard. I'll pick it up as we go along. Call Mrs. Fiona Lewis.
Call Mrs. Fiona Lewis.
I swear to tell the truth, the old truth, and nothing but the truth. So anyway, I said to her, they can't afford that and what he earns. I mean, for a start, the feathers get up your nose. I ask you, 4 and 6 a pound, and him with a wooden leg. I don't know how she puts up with it after all the trouble she's had with her you-know-what. Anyway, it was a white wedding, much to everyone's surprise. Of course, they bought everything on the hire purchase. I think they ought to send them back where they come from. I mean, you've got to be cruel to be kind. So Mrs. Harris said so. She said, the dead crab. She said, well, her sister's gone to Rhodesia, what with her womb and all, and her youngest as thin as a filing cabinet, and the goldfish, they've got whooping cough, they keep spitting water at the Brabbies. Well, they do, don't they? I mean, you can't, can you? I mean, they're not even married or anything, they're not even divorced. And he's in the KGB, if you ask me, says he's a tree surgeon, but I don't like the sound of his liver. All that squeaking and banging every night till the small hours. I said, well, his mother's been much better since she had a red hook. Yes, yeah. I said, don't you talk to me about that. Don't you talk to me about that, as I said.
Mr. Bartlett, I fail to see the relevance of your last witness.
My next witness will explain that, if my ladyship will allow. I call the late Arthur Aldridge.
Late Arthur Aldridge?
Yes, my lord.
Mr. Bartlett, do you think there's any relevance in questioning the deceased?
I beg your pardon, my lord?
Well, I mean, your witness is dead.
Yes, my lord. Virtually, my lord.
He's not completely dead.
No, he's not completely dead, my lord, no. But he's not at all well.
But if he's not dead, what's he doing in a coffin?
It's purely precaution, my lad, if I may continue. Mr. Aldridge, you are a stockbroker of 10 Savona Close, Wimbledon? Mr. Aldridge!
What was that knock?
It means yes, my lad. 1 knock for yes and 2 knocks for no. If I may continue. Mr. Aldridge, would it be fair to say that you are not at all well? In fact, Mr. Aldridge, not to put too fine a point on it, would you be prepared to say that you are, as it were, what is generally known as, in a manner of speaking, dead? Dandridge, I put it to you that you were dead. Aha!
Where is all this leading us?
That will become apparent in one moment, my lad. Mr. Aldridge, are you considering the question, or are you just dead? I think I'd better take a look at that. No further questions, Blood.
No further questions. I can't just dump a dead body in my court and say no further questions. I demand an explanation.
There are no easy answers in this case, Blood.
I think you haven't got the slightest idea what this case is about.
Blood, the strange, damnable, almost diabolic threads of this extraordinary tangled web of intrigue will shortly, Blood, reveal a plot so fiendish, so infernal, so heinous.
Mr. Bartlett, your client has already pleaded guilty to the parking offence.
Parking offence? Schmarking offence, Blood. We must leave no stone unturned. Call Cardinal Richelieu.
Oh, you're just trying to string this case out. Cardinal Richelieu?
A character witness, Blood.
Hello, everyone. It's wonderful to be here, you know. I just love your country. London is so beautiful at this time of year.
Are you our Cardinal Armand Duplessis de Richelieu, First Minister of Louis XIII?
Oui.
Cardinal, would it be fair to say that you not only built up the centralized monarchy in France, but also perpetuated the religious schism in Europe?
That's what they say.
And did you persecute the Huguenots?
Oui.
And did you take even sterner measures against the great Catholic nobles who made common cause with foreign foes in defense of their feudal independence?
I sure did that thing.
Cardinal, are you acquainted with the defendant, Harold Larch?
Since I was, so I.
Speaking as a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church, as First Minister of Louis XIII, and as one of the architects of the modern world already, would you say that Harold Larch was a man of good character?
Listen, Harry is a very wonderful human being.
Blood, in view of the impeccable nature of this character witness, may I plead for clemency?
It's only 30 shillings.
Not so fast.
Why not?
None of your smart answers. You think you're so clever. Well, I'm dim.
Dim?
Dim!
Consternation! Uproar!
Yes. And I've a few questions I'd like to ask Cardinal so-called Richelieu.
Bonjour, Monsieur Dim.
So-called Cardinal, I put it to you that you died in December 1642.
That is correct.
Aha! He fell for my little trap.
Curse you, Inspector Dim. You are too clever for us naughty people.
And furthermore, I suggest that you are none other than Ron Higgins, professional Cardinal Richelieu impersonator.
It's a fair cop.
My life, you're clever, Dim. He'd certainly taken me in.
It's all in a day's work.
Oh, with a brilliant mind like yours, Dim, you could be something other than a policeman.
Yes.
What?
If I were not in the CID, something else I'd like to be. If I were not in the CID, a window cleaner me. With a rub-a-dub-dub and a scrub-a-dub-dub and a rub-a-dub all day long. With a rub-a-dub-dub and a scrub-a-dub-dub, I'd sing this merriest song. If I were not in the CID, something else I'd like to be. If I were not in the CID, a window cleaner me. With a rub-a-dub-dub and a scrub-a-dub-dub and a rub-a-dub all day long. With a
rub-a-dub-dub
and a rub-a-dub-dub, I'd sing this merry song. Hey!
If I were not before the bar, something I'd like to be. If I were not a barrister, an engine driver, me. With a chuff, 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 and a chuff, 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 chuff. The Larch. The Larch. And now, number one. The Larch. And now,
This man is no ordinary man. This is Mr. F.G. Superman. To all appearances, no different from any other law-abiding citizen. Mr. F.G. Superman has a secret identity. When trouble strikes, at any time, at any place, he is ready to become Bicycle Repairman.
Hey! There's a bicycle broken! Up the road!
Thinks. This sounds like a job for Bicycle Repairman. But how to change without revealing my secret identity?
If only Bicycle Repairman were here.
Wait! I think I know where I can find him. Look! Over there!
Bicycle Repairman? But how?
Look! Is it a stockbroker?
Is it a quantity surveyor?
Is it the church warden?
No! It's Bicycle Repairman!
Why, Bicycle Repairman! Thank goodness you've come! Look!
Why, he's mending it with his own hand.
See how he uses a spanner to tighten that nut.
Oh, Bicycle Repairman, how can I ever repay you?
Well, you don't need to, Gump. It's all right. It's all in a day's work for Bicycle Repairman.
Our hero!
Yes, wherever bicycles are broken or menaced by international communism, Bicycle Repairman is ready. Ready to smash the communists, wipe them out,
and shove them off the face of the earth. Smash the dirty red scum! Kick him in the teeth where it hurts! Kill! 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 Filthy bastard commies! I hate them! I hate them!
She's ready.
Kind of.
Hello, children. Hello. Here is this morning's story. Are you ready? Then we'll begin. One day, Ricky the Magic Pixie went to visit Daisy Bumble in her tumble-down cottage. He found her in the bedroom. Roughly, he grabbed her heavy shoulders, pulling her down onto the bed and ripping off her... Old Nick, the sea captain, was a rough, tough, jolly sort of fellow. He loved the life of the sea, and he loved to hang out down by the pier, where the men dressed as ladies... Rumpeltweezer ran the Dinky Tinky shop in the foot of the magic oak tree, by the wobbly dum-dum bush, in the shade of the magic glade down in Dingley Dell. Here he sold contraceptives and... Discipline. Naked. With a melon.
Benedictus benedicat, per eum Christum dominum nostrum. Benedictus dicat, per eum Christum dominum nostrum.
Hello again. Now here's a little sketch by two boys from London Town. They've been writing for 3 years and they've come up with a little number. Here it is. It's called Restaurant Sketch.
It's nice here, isn't it?
Oh, very good restaurant. 3 stars, you know.
Really?
Mm. Good evening, sir. Good evening, madame.
Good evening.
And may I say what a pleasure it is to see you here again, sir.
Oh, thank you. Hmm. Well, there you are, dear. Let's have a look there. Anything you like. The Buffon croûte is fantastic. Oh,
if I may suggest, sir, the pheasant à la reine. The sauce is one of the chef's most famous creations.
Mm, that sounds good. That's anyway, just have a look. Take your time. If you like. Oh, by the way, I've got a bit of a dirty fork. Could you get me another one?
A bigger bottle?
Well, something. I've got a fork, a little bit dirty. Could you get me another one? Thank you.
Oh, sir, I do apologise.
Oh, no need to apologise. Doesn't worry me.
Oh, no. I do apologise. I will fetch the head waiter immediately.
Oh, there's no need to do that.
Oh, no. I'm sure the head waiter, he will want to apologise to you himself. I will fetch him at once.
Well, you certainly get good service.
They really look
you?
After you, yes.
Excuse me, sir, madam.
It's filthy! Gaston, find out who washed this up and give them their cards immediately!
No.
Better still, can't afford to take any chances. Sack! The entire washing up staff.
No, look, I don't want to make any trouble.
Oh, no, please, it's no trouble. It's quite right that you should point these kind of things out.
Gaston, tell the manager what has happened immediately.
Look, please, I don't want to cause any fuss.
Please, it's no fuss. We simply wish to ensure that nothing interferes with your complete enjoyment of the meal.
I'm sure it won't. It was only a dirty fork.
I know. And I'm sorry. Bitterly sorry. But I know that no apologies I can make can alter the fact that in our restaurant you have been given a dirty, filthy, smelly piece of cutlery.
What, smelly?
It was smelly and obscene and disgusting. And I hate it. Nasty, grubby, dirty, mangy, grubby little bog. Which,
you know. Good evening, sir. Good evening, madam. I'm the manager. I've only just heard. May I sit down?
Yes, of course.
I want to apologise humbly, deeply, and sincerely about the fork.
Oh, no, please, I was only a tiny bit dirty. I just couldn't see it.
Oh, you're good, kind, fine people for saying that. But I can see it. To me, it's like a mountain. A vast bowl of pus.
Oh,
it gets me here. I can't give you any excuses for it. There are no excuses. I've been meaning to spend more time in the restaurant recently, but I haven't been too well, and things aren't going very well back there. The poor cook's son has been put away again, and poor old Mrs. Dalrymple, who does the washing up, can hardly move her poor fingers. And then there's Gilberto's war wound. But they're good people. And they're kind people. Together, we were beginning to get over this dark patch. There was light at the end of the tunnel. When this happened.
Could I get you some water?
It's the end of the road.
You bastards! You vicious, heartless bastards! Look what you've done to him! He's worked his fingers to the bone to make this place what it is! And you come in with your petty, feeble quibbling! And you grind him into the dirt! This fine, honorable man whose boots you are not worthy to kiss! Oh, it makes me mad!
Easy, Mungo. Easy. Mungo. Oh, the war wound. The wound. The wound.
It's the end.
Ah, oh, they destroyed him.
The end. Ah.
Oh, he's dead.
They killed him. Revenge. Revenge. Go, go, go.
We didn't say anything about the dirty knife.
Well, there we are then. That was restaurant sketch. Nice little number. A bit vicious in parts, but a lot of fun. But how about that punchline, eh? Oh, well, you know what I mean. Oh, really?
Tired of that drab, boring life you lead? Then purchase a pot. Yes, thousands of people have led far more interesting lives than you will ever lead. Interesting lives, whereas you, just as assuredly, will not. But now, for the very first time, bits of their lives are being made available for purchase. For only 15 shillings, dullards like yourself can obtain beautifully framed photographs of other people's lives. Hang them in your den, stand them on your desk, or next to your bed. Pretend they are pictures from your past.
Hello, I'm Uncle Frank and family. Mind if you stay a couple of nights? Or a month? Or 3 years?
Say, hello, where's Uncle George and Agnes?
I should look in the kitchen.
Oh, where's the bath?
By the way, is there anything to
eat?
I'm terribly sorry.
Shut up!
Oh,
Sally!
Not good enough.
Good evening. Here is the 6 o'clock news, read by Michael Queen. It's been a quiet day over most of the country as people went back to work after the warmest July weekend for nearly a year. The only high spot of the weekend was the meeting between officials of the NEDC and the ODCN in Bradford today. Mr. Ted Johnson, the NEDC, moved the negotiations by
officials of the Central Clearing Banks met with Herr Volstar of Poland to discuss non-returnable loans on a 12-year trust basis for the construction of a new zinc-treating works in the Omsk area of Krakow near the Bielostan border. The Board of Trade has ratified a trade agreement with the Soviet Union for the sale of 600 low-gear electric sewing machines. The president of the Board of Trade said he hoped this would mark a new era of expansion in world trade and a new spirit of cooperation between East and West. There has been a substantial drop in gold reserves during the last 12 months. This follows a statement by the Treasury to the effect that the balance of import situation had not changed dramatically over the same period. Still no news of the National Savings Book lost by Mr. Charles Griffiths of Corfe Call during a field expedition to the nature reserves of Swansea last July.
Mr. Griffith's wife said that her husband was refusing to talk to the press until the savings certificate had been found. In Cornwall, the death has been announced today of the former Minister Without Portfolio, General Sir Hugh Marksby-Smith. Sir Hugh was Vice President of the Rotarian Movement. In the match between Glamorgan and Yorkshire, the Yorkshire bowler Nicholson took 8 wickets for 3 runs. Glamorgan were all out for 36 and therefore won the match by an innings and 7 runs. Weather for tomorrow will be cloudy with occasional outbreaks of rain. And that is the end of the news.
And now, number one, the Lodge. The Lodge. And now, number three, the Lodge. And now, the Horse Chestnut.
Eric, do you think you could recognize a larch tree?
Don't know.
What's your name? Michael. Well, I don't think you know what a larch tree looks like.
I want to go home.
Bottom. Now, are there any other trees that any of you think you could recognise from quite a long way away?
I see why a sketch of Eric's, please.
What?
Eric wants to see a sketch of Eric's. Nudge, nudge.
What? A sketch?
Eric's witness.
I've written a sketch.
Nudge, nudge. Eric's written sketch.
Nudge, nudge.
Is your wife a goer, eh?
Know what I mean, know what I mean. Nudge, 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 nudge. Know what I mean, say no more, know what I mean.
I beg your pardon?
Your wife, does she go, eh, eh, eh? Know what I mean, know what I mean, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Oh, she sometimes goes, yes.
I bet she does, I bet she does, I bet she does. Know what I mean, know what I mean, nudge, nudge.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite follow you.
Oh, follow me, follow me. And I like that, that's good. A nod's as good as a wink to a blind bat, eh?
Are you trying to sell something?
Selling, very good, very good. Oh, wicked, wicked, you're wicked, eh? Know what I mean, nudge, nudge. Know what I mean? Nudge, nudge. Nudge, nudge. Say no more. Stoot. Your wife, is she a sport, eh?
Oh, yes, she likes sport, yes.
I bet she does, I bet she does.
She's very fond of cricket, as a matter of fact.
Who isn't, eh? Know what I mean? Likes games. Knew she would. She's been around, eh? Been around.
Yeah, she's travelled, she's from Purley.
Oh, say no more, Purley. Say no more, Purley. Eh? Know what I mean? Say no more. Your wife interested in, photographs, eh? Know what I mean? Photographs, he asked him knowingly.
Photography?
Yes. Nudge, nudge, snap, snap, grin, grin, wink, wink, say no more.
Holiday snaps.
Could be taken on a holiday, could be, yes, swimming costumes, you know what I mean? Candid photography, you know what I mean? Nudge, nudge.
No, we don't have a camera.
Oh. Still. Whoa! Hey? Whoa! Hey?
Look, are you insinuating something?
Oh, yes.
Well?
Well, I mean, you're a man of the world, aren't you? I mean, you've been there, haven't you? I mean, you've been around. Hey?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, you've done it. You've slept with a lady.
Yes.
What's it like?
Thank you.
the lodge.